From the Financial Times in London, I'm Jyotsna Singh, and this is FT News. Brussels has hit Google with a 2.42 billion euros fine for abusing its dominance in online search. EU's antitrust watchdog also warned the company to mend its behavior or face further penalty. The ruling came after 7 years of investigation of Google, in which the company was found to be manipulating its dominance in online search to give itself a legal advantage for its own shopping service. Google has said it disagrees with the findings. So what implications does the ruling have on already strained transatlantic ties, and how is it likely to impact the technology sector? To find out more, I'm joined on the phone line by the FT's Rochelle Toplensky in Brussels. Rochelle, first, give us the details of the EU ruling. There were some pretty strong words in it, isn't it?
There was definitely some strong words in it. It's a case that's been a long time coming, the first of three cases that are looking at Google, and it looks at Google Shop. It's sort of Google Shopping, for those who don't know what it is basically sort of a box. If you were to search for things like roller skates, it's a box that pops up that shows you pictures and prices and has links to sort of click through to places you could buy those. And that's what this is focused on. It's focused on basically if Google was giving preference to its own search results there in Google Shopping and demoting the services that would rival that, so the price comparison websites like Kalku or PriceRunner or places like that. And the case really did two things today. It established, one, that Google is dominant in search in Europe. It has over 90% of the searches in Europe, which is more than even in the U.S. And then it also established that Google was preferring its own services compared to rivals, and that is illegal. That's an abuse of that dominant power that they have.
How has Google reacted to the ruling? Is it likely to pay up the fine?
It has to pay up the fine, but it is most likely going to appeal. This decision is sort of hundreds of pages, and I just got a hold of it this morning. So they're in the middle of processing it and reading it through, and it is very, very technical and fact-based. So there's a lot to process in there. And the commission has sort of set this as a broad principle and said, you know, there's lots of different ways that Google could fix this problem. So it's given Google 90 days, which is the standard sort of period, to figure out a way that they can stop doing this and agree that with the commission. So they will pay the fine, they will agree that solution, and they're also most likely going to file an appeal with the European courts, which will take a few years to work their way through the system.
So it looks like this case is going to go on for some time, but is this ruling likely to impact the technology sector?
Yeah, there's quite a common narrative right now going around that there's a crusade by Europe against American technology companies. And I mean, it does have the potential to just sort of impact some of them, but in a very specific way. So I guess I would just back up a little bit and say that the narrative going that Europe has it in for U.S. technology companies sort of is a bit disingenuous. U.S. is really strong in technology and in the industry. You know, they have 15 of the top 20 IT companies in the world, and antitrust authorities look at big companies. So they're going to do that. But if you take a step back and look at what Europe does in other industries, you know, in telecoms or in energy, they haven't had any adverse decision against American companies. And actually, over two-thirds of their adverse decisions are against European companies. Only 15% are against American in the last 7 years. So this isn't sort of a crusade against technology or American companies specifically. Now, where it could potentially have impact, though, is, again, going back to that sort of twofold thing of the actual facts of the decision. So if we're to have a technology company that is somehow proven to be dominant in the market, so that's most important. This is about abusing dominance. So first you need to prove that this company is indeed dominant in the market. And then they have to sell their service alongside a rival service, or somehow like Google, sort of a gatekeeper of showing those both to customers. So they would have to have both a competing service with one of their rivals, and then they'd have to make sure that they weren't preferencing or favoring that one. So someone that you could sort of think of, not that this is anything from the commission, but just sort of blue sky thinking with people, something like Apple, their music service versus maybe an app like Spotify. If you're on an Apple iPhone, you buy your apps from the App Store. So they're the place to get it. And whether you buy music or whether Apple Music or you buy Spotify, those are competing services, one which is Apple is selling and the other which is a rival. Now, I'm not saying they do preference it. I'm just saying that is the sort of scenario that you'd have. Again, like Amazon on a marketplace where they sell their own stuff as a retailer, but then also have marketplace retailers that do it. So that would be the place where you'd sort of look where this might have some crossover. But companies like Facebook, where they're just selling ads. I mean, they're just selling ads. Different types of ads or their own service of that and somebody else's. So that's not really going to fall under this ruling.
Now, finally, the ruling came a day after Brussels warned the US that it would retaliate against any quotas or tariffs on European steel. What do you make of the developments today in that context?
Yeah, I think, we've been seeing some fairly strange transatlantic relationships from some of the rhetoric before the elections through to, about the EU and Brexit and those sorts of things, and some of President Trump's comments around NATO, his withdrawal from the Paris Accord. So the steel tariff threat is sort of the latest in what is quite a substantial American policy change or potential change. I think, there's just sort of an uncertainty in Europe about what President Trump's reaction will be. But I think what we're seeing with both the steel tariffs and the reaction that Europe is talking about now, as well as what Commissioner Vestager did today, I mean, there's an awareness of Trump. There's a nervousness about maybe, or an uncertainty, I guess is probably a better word, about how Trump might react. But the EU is kind of just getting on with business, and it's sort of doing the best it can to not, I'm sure they would prefer for today's decision not to create any strain or controversy, but it's not going to hold them back from doing what they think is right.
Rochelle Toplansky in Brussels, thank you.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about AI and the business travel sector. I speak to Tim LaBelle, head of product for SAP Concur Spend Solutions.
We'll have so much data that our travel will be safer.
Shelley Fletcher-Bryant, VP of Advito.
AI can certainly contribute to more eco-friendly travel practices.
And author and public speaker, Theo Lau.
AI can help us predict when it will be a peak travel, more delays, cancelled flights.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.